Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. The Little Boy's Ghost. I'm 36 years old, and my husband and I moved into our house in 2007. The home sits on a high hill in a pretty rocky area. Since we have moved here, we have seen and heard several things. As the real ghost story goes, the first one happened to my aunt, and we'll tell her story. Then I will tell you what I saw. Hi, my name is Aunt Sandy. I was visiting my niece and her three children. I had brought my granddaughter along so we could have a play date with her little cousins. We were going swimming that day, so we were trying to get the kids ready to go. There were two boys, ages 2 and 4, and two girls, ages 3 years old. This was about 3 p.m. when it happened. I had just gotten my bathing suit on in the 4-year-old's bedroom used as a guest room at the time. There are 4 bedrooms upstairs, and I was in the first room, and there are 2 more bedrooms on this side of the hallway, which are the kids' rooms. The parents' room is on the opposite side of the hallway with a bathroom at the end of the hallway. So as the story goes, I walked out of the little 4-year-old's room and looked down the hallway towards the bathroom. And a little boy ran fast from the parents' room into the little girl's room, which is almost straight across, and it's about 12 feet apart. So I took off down the hallway thinking, oh, that's just the little 2-year-old boy running around. So I was going to go get him and tell him to get out of his sister's room. When I walked into the room, no one was in there, and the closet door was open. I was like, what? So I then turned around and yelled for my niece Cheryl. Are you in here? I just stood at her doorway, wondering if she was in her bedroom, because I saw the light on in her bathroom, but she was not there. So I proceeded downstairs, scared to death. When I was walking downstairs, I could see all the kids were down there playing. I counted them in fright, realizing as I did so that I had been the only one upstairs. My niece was just at the end of the stairwell, talking to the kids. She looked up at me and said, what's wrong? Did you see a ghost? And I asked her, why did you say that? She told me, because I can see you look like you did. I told her, yes, I did. And I started crying, and I told her, it was a little boy. I told her I thought it was Nick, and she said, no, he's been sitting at the table eating an apple for a while and has not been upstairs. I just kept telling her it was a little boy, and all the kids are here, and no one is up there, and the little boy had just run across the hallway. My niece looked very content as she was looking at me, and she said she had always sensed something was going on, so I took her upstairs and reenacted to her what I saw and where it happened. We then took off, paranoid, out of the house to go swimming. This is Cheryl's story. After my aunt told me this, I really believed her. She looked so scared and had no reason not to believe her. Otherwise, because we were going to have a fun day, and we were looking forward to getting out with the kids. I told her that things had been going on in the house since we had moved there. I told her that no one would believe us or take things seriously because usually when someone moves into a house, they always wonder if it's haunted as a general idea. Over the past few months, though, several things added up. Like one night, all the kids and my husband were sleeping and a storm kept me up. And after the storm passed, I went downstairs to watch TV. While watching TV, the bathroom door in the living room opened all by itself. I knew that one of the kids was messing around, so I got up and no one was there. And all the kids were sleeping upstairs. I didn't just hear it, I saw it open. But the couch was in the way where I didn't see the bottom of the door, just the top. I was sitting on the love seat. Very weird. Then one night, when I was staying up late watching TV, I heard banging noises like someone was throwing toys around upstairs, directly above the living room, up in the playroom. So I got up and went upstairs, planning to scold them. This was already about 11:30 p.m., but all the kids were sound asleep. I was like, what? Someone was playing in there, but I didn't know what it was. Another night, the same thing happened, and I just ignored it, and I was too scared to check it out. One day, about 4 weeks ago, our house alarm went off for no reason, and it was not even set to be on. You have to push number codes to set it to be on. The electricity did not go off either. At the time, I was on the computer and all the doors were still locked downstairs. Again, very weird. Just today, at about 1:30 p.m., While my kids were in their room taking their naps, I heard awful noises in my little girl's room. I was on the phone at the time, so I got off. What I heard sounded was like someone ripping off the mini blinds from the windows in her room, and it sounded like they were banging against the glass. And then I heard a huge boom, as if a big dresser had fallen over. I ran upstairs right away to see if my little girl was messing with something, and she was sitting on her bed with a book open. It was a children's Bible book, and she was looking at it. I saw the mini blinds were tore up a little bit, and I asked her what was going on in there, and she said, "I don't know." Okay, I wonder if this has anything to do with my little girl. She is a high-functioning autistic child. I've read about demons trying to latch onto autistic children because they are so emotional. I think we will hang a cross in here in her bedroom and buy her a cross to wear. My daughter frequently wakes up at night crying and moaning. The day it happened, my little girl could not sleep well that night and had woken up about 4 times screaming. I could hear someone jumping around in her room. My Aunt Sandy says we live on a high hill, and this is where Native Americans lived years ago. And maybe it's an Indian child spirit. She says that they burned their dead on high hills. I don't know about that. I don't know if anything happened in this house or not. It's all true, but we have no proof but our own sightings. The Black Robe Shadow. I work in security in New Zealand. Our security company got a job to provide overnight security during the construction of a retirement home. About 5 different security guards who work for the company and that had been assigned to the retirement village overnight had reported seeing a black shadow appearing and disappearing, including myself. We were discussing this last night and we were trying to best describe what it looked like, and the closest description we could come up with was that it was a shadow. The best definition was that it was a dark shadow, which looked human but appeared to be dressed in a black robe. We could relate that it looked also that a grim reaper, except with no sickle. Most of the time, the dark shadow just stands there watching us. Sometimes we see it move and run before it disappears. One of the security guards freaked out when he saw it standing on the roof of one of the portacoms, just standing there staring at him. He could smell a weird burning flesh type smell. When the shadow saw him looking at it, it disappeared. On the same night when the security guard went to do his patrols, he found a radio turned up really loud on the construction site. No one had been there all night, so he didn't know who had turned it on. All he did was turn it off. About an hour later, he came back to do the patrol again and found it on again. So this time, he turned it off and pulled out the power cord. When he did this, another radio down the hall turned on. This was about 20 meters away. He went and switched this one off as well. He did a search of the whole place but could find no one. By this time, he was really freaking out. A different security guard said he had seen the same black shadow appear and disappear. Later on in the night, he was sitting in his car and had closed his eyes for about 15 seconds when he heard a loud knocking sound on the windows of his car. He quickly turned open his eyes and looked to see who it was, but there was no one around. He started to panic because he realized no one person could physically knock on the window and run away in the matter of seconds without being seen. The question is, what is this thing, this dark shadow, this grim reaper-looking thing? Is it real? Is it a ghost? Or something much worse? The Haunting at the Mill. My husband works as a maintenance manager in an old mill building. The building was constructed in 1890. It has had many uses over the years, from the textile industry to the production of fire engines and rifles. It is currently an educational facility. Just the age of the building makes it interesting, but if you add the history, it is even more so. My husband has told me from the beginning that the building was haunted. Stories abound from others that work in the building. The first experience my husband had was hearing the laughter of small girls. This was according to him at about 3 a.m. on a Monday morning. The building was empty except for my husband. He was in covering for a janitor that was on vacation. He was on the 3rd floor of the building, was feeling uncomfortable for some reason. He had cleaned a set of bathrooms and was making his way to the nearby offices when he heard a giggle. He said his blood ran cold and he just stopped where he was. He paused and listened, but heard nothing. He started to move again and once again he heard laughter. This time there were 2 distinct voices laughing, both sounding like small children. At this point, he decided to go to another part of the building until the sun came up. Later that morning, he returned to the area that seemed so frightening a short time earlier. Now in the warm early morning light, it wasn't scary at all. He did notice that there were pictures along the wall near where he had heard the laughter. Two of these pictures caught his eye. The pictures, each 8x10, showed sisters in Victorian dress. While they were adults, the coincidence sent a shiver down his spine. The next week, when the janitor he was covering for returned to work, my husband asked if he had ever heard anything while working up there. "You mean my girls?" was the reply. The janitor said the building was really creepy at night, but that nothing bad ever happened, so he didn't worry about it. He said that along with the laughter of little girls, there were certain doors that would slam even though they were already closed. Also, there were seats in the auditorium, which he would always find down, even though they should spring back up like theater seats. It was always the same seats, and it didn't matter if the room was used at all during the previous day or not. He showed me the seats, and to this day, I will find them down in the morning. On and off, over the years, he had to work third shift for different reasons. Each time he did, there is an experience. He had himself heard doors he had recently closed slam shut. He has heard muffled conversations only to find the area empty when he investigates. He has also discussed this with other employees, and anyone who has spent time in the building alone off hours has something to share. The first time I was with him at night was when the building was empty and we experienced something together. He had stopped because I needed to go to the bathroom and we were nearby, so it was ideal. He also wanted to check an office for a leak, as it was a rainy evening and he had had problems earlier with the space. We were inside this particular lab, and while it was dry, there was something more upsetting going on. We stood in the space and he checked for a leak. We turned to leave and he paused. I followed his gaze to the bottom of the door. We could plainly see shadows moving outside the door by looking at the gap between the door and the floor. It wasn't just one or two, it was nearly constant, as if a large group of people were walking by. It subsided in just a few moments. We walked outside the lab and checked the entire floor. We were alone. We checked each floor and found no one else in the building. The parking lot was empty too. Since then, nearly each time we are alone in the building, we have some strange encounter. And I have a feeling it's more than just little girls. The thing on the roof. This took place in San Diego about 6 or 7 years ago. I lived in a two-story house with my mother and stepfather. The roof of the house was angled steeply on both sides. To get an image of the house and where I was, the front door opens right to a small tiled area with a door to my bedroom on the left and the door to the garage on the right. A straight staircase from the tiled area leads upstairs to the living room, kitchen, and other bedrooms. There is a hatchway to the attic in the ceiling at the top of the staircase. Early on a Saturday evening, I was home alone in my bedroom with the door closed, and I heard someone knock on my door. Now, my parents were long gone at Lake Havasu, so I knew that they weren't there. I could see the area by the front door from my window, so I looked there, but didn't see anyone. But I went to the front door anyway. Before I opened the front door, I heard very heavy thumping sounds from the ceiling, as if someone was walking across the roof or the attic. I just stood there at the bottom of the staircase, staring up the stairs at the attic hatch for literally 5 minutes, and the footstep sounds continued. 1 minute it sounded like someone walking slowly, and the next it sounded like someone jogging. The next minute it stopped like someone was pacing randomly. I kept telling myself there was an animal up there, but animals just don't sound like this. I was pretty scared, but very curious too. I grabbed a chair and a bat from my bedroom and headed upstairs. I'm not sure what I thought I was going to do, but I went anyway. Going up the stairs, the closer to the ceiling I got, I was positive it was coming from the attic. Besides, the roof was very steep, so I can't imagine someone walking around too much up there. When I got to the top of the stairs and under the attic door, I lost most of my nerve and just waited. The steps had stopped for the moment, and then it sounded as if someone sprinted across the ceiling and stopped right above me. It was so loud and so clear, I can still hear it now. I decided not to look into the attic after that, and instead just left whatever it was alone. I left the house for the night soon after that, and never heard the footsteps again. And I can tell you, I'm very glad about that. And even though I'm curious at times what it was, I'd rather just not know. The old mill. I was working an overnight shift at an old textile mill. It's 117 years old. I had to stay overnight to keep an eye on a leaky water main where it entered the building. By 11 p.m., the building was empty. I made a quick tour of the building just to satisfy myself that I was alone. Security had gone through before me, and when they left, they told me I was alone in the building as well. It was about 11:30 p.m. when I returned to my post to watch the pipe leak slowly. There wasn't much to do in the small space, so I started to read a book. It was about 12:30 a.m. when I heard a muffled conversation outside the space I was in. I got up and stuck my head out of the room and looked down the hallway, but there was no one there. I sat back down and picked up my book, and I heard it again. This time, I walked out of the office and up and down the hall. I checked each room and found no one there. Now, this is a three-story building, and I only checked the first floor, the floor I was on. I sat back down and read for a little while longer. I needed to stretch, so I took a walk. I went to the third floor and walked the main corridor. Everything was quiet. Same thing on the second floor. I looked out the windows and saw my vehicle was the only one in the lot. It was about an hour later, and I had made my tour of the building and heated up a dinner. I was sitting in the space with a leaky pipe eating dinner when I heard the muffled voices again. I ignored it this time, and eventually that either faded away or I tuned them out. I sat there and read for about an hour after I ate with no other noises. At 3 a.m., I got up to go to the bathroom. I walked down the corridor, passing four offices before getting to the bathroom. All was quiet and dark inside the offices. I did my business and washed my hands and walked out of the bathroom. I noticed the office nearest me now had a small desk lamp on. I didn't see anyone in the office, so I stuck my head outside to see if a car was there. There was none. I went back inside and looked around. I called out a couple of times but got no answer. I mustered up some courage and entered the locked office where the desk lamp was shining. I looked around, and there didn't seem to be anything out of place. I shut off the light and backed out of the room. I pulled the door tight and backed away. Just as I left the corridor and entered the space with a leaky pipe, I heard a door slam. I may have made a noise myself. I may have let out a startled scream, but I'm not sure. I looked back out down the corridor and I saw nothing. I was pretty well freaked out, but I managed to walk down the hallway. When I got to the last office near the bathrooms, I noticed that the desk lamp was back on. I didn't bother turning it off again. I went back to my space and sat listening. I couldn't even concentrate enough to read. I just sat and listened. The voices would come and go, sometimes nearly loud enough to make out the conversation, but never quite. As the sun rose and the light made its way inside the building, the voices ended. The first shift worker arrived just before 6 a.m., and I couldn't wait to get out of there. It was just too creepy for me. Needless to say, I never volunteered for overnight shift again. The man in the basement. I was 13 at the time and at a friend's house. His sister's room was down in the basement, and there was an entrance at the end of the living room. She was showing us how her horse ribbons kept turning upside down. She turned them right side up and tried to move them by waving her blanket. They didn't budge. We were there alone, and we heard someone walking upstairs in the kitchen above. We looked at each other, and as I was about to ask if their mom was home, we heard a chair slide across the floor from the kitchen, through the living room, and fall down the stairs into the basement. We couldn't move. Another time at the same house, we were doing our homework, and we heard footsteps on the roof. As we looked at each other, the dryer started going while it was unplugged. When they moved out because of other strange things that took place, the landlord asked if they were moving because of the ghost. They were shocked and explained that things had happened to them. He explained that the owner before him was an elderly man who walked in and surprised two unsuspecting thieves. They dragged the old man down to the basement, tortured, and killed him down there. Wow, I still get chills thinking about that. Invisible rain. This took place about 6 years ago. I was living with my parents in a house in California. It was a two-story, and the backyard bordered a canyon. There were lots of trees and brush. This particular incident took place. It was about 10 p.m. on a Friday night, and two friends and I were in my bedroom getting ready to go out to a club. We had not been drinking or anything like that. My parents had already gone to bed, but I heard voices upstairs as we were getting ready to leave, so I went up to check. My stepfather was comforting my mother, and she looked terrified. They said that they had woken up with the worst feeling of dread and sadness that she'd ever felt, as if something terrible had or was about to happen. My mother had never been one to make things up, and she would not have faked the horrible look in her eyes. We decided to look around that back when my mother said she felt like something or someone was there. By this time, my friends, Craig and John, had come to see what was going on. We got a flashlight and one of those big spotlight flashlights and scanned the backyard for any sign of animals, people, anything else. We did this from behind the closed sliding glass door, since we didn't really know what was out there. We didn't see anything and it was a clear night, so Greg and John and I went out the back porch and looked some more. I had the large spotlight, and I looked through the bushes on the porch itself and even straight up to the sky, thinking I might see birds or something. There was nothing. We concurred that there was nothing out there, and then it started drizzling rain. I remember saying, "That figures," but then it occurred to me that it was a clear night. I looked up at the sky again, but didn't see any drops. I started to get nervous and used the spotlight to look up, but there was no rain coming down. Yet I felt it spattering on my face and arms. I looked very carefully, but could only feel the rain. I asked John, "Do you see that?" never mentioning rain, and he looked for a few seconds. Then his eyes got real big and he said, "There's no rain." He clearly felt it too. We ran inside the house immediately and locked the door. We both confirmed that we'd experienced the same thing and decided not to investigate any further. We never could find an explanation for the occurrence as there weren't any sprinklers within reach of where we were at. The sky was clear, and even if there were, we couldn't see the drops with the flashlights. That is truly a mystery. The Black House. If you ever wanted to see what looked like a truly haunted house, all you have to do is go to downtown Sacramento. It sits among the businesses and wealthy Victorian houses with perfectly coiffed lawns. For as long as 15 years, I have walked by its neglected pall of dark windows and dead lawn, watching the bees make their way in and out of a hole in one of the walls. Among the living, they alone occupy the manor. The manor is stunning and beautiful, like finding a diamond on a street. Running into people, including paranormal investigators, is normal. We load our eyes with strange shingles cut to look like dragon scales and fitted by the craftsmen expertly over the house. The stone line heads that guard each door in the front of the house, the rough face blocks at the base, and the careful stained glass give this house an aloof air. The family that owns this house is closed mouthed, but clearly this house was created by an eccentric, looking like a gothic castle in detail. A friend of mine put her name and number on a paper, indicating she wanted to see the house and left it in the mailbox. Later she checked the mailbox, her paper was gone, and no one ever called her. People like me who come to this house really want to go inside. I once thought I saw a woman grimly staring at me through the second story window, but then I heard that the home was vacant. The story is that this house was owned by one of the wealthy founders of Sacramento, and his wife was mysteriously murdered therein. The manor is not in the market, but back in the 70s, a family moved in and said they heard struggling in the kitchen, shattering glass, and saw cats mysteriously streaking through the rooms, then vanishing. Legend is the family left quickly. There's also an odor of rotting flesh that is said to warn off unliked visitors that dare to come into the yard. Looking up the owners, the house is listed under a certain family's name, and the house is caught up in a property dispute. The children want to sell, but they cannot agree on specifics, so it remains unused. The family does the minimum to take care of it. The manor's many visitors are in love with it. But I also believe that the spirit prefer their existence this way, alone and untouched by time and the living. Psychic me. From childhood, there has been a part of town that seemed to radiate peace to me. Seems like I could be blindfolded, spun around three times, and driven in reverse to this area, and I would still know exactly where I was. That is how powerfully it moves me, and lucky me, after months of apartment hunting, my fiancé fell in love with a place, and it happened to be in that area. And my new home is haunted. There is a being here, full of hungry anger. Luxuriating in the calm solace of my old home was like a nice soak in the tub. This place is like being chucked in a shake-and-bake bag, filled with cactus needles. Typically, ghosts react like dogs with me. If they are lost and scared, they follow me. They know I will try to help them. I am surprised when I find ghosts that don't want positive transformation, like this one. The first night, I felt the energy disturbance of both the previous owner, her energy signature, and beings and energies that were attached to this place. From experience, I knew that it can take at least 3 months to mediate all the energies. It is a process that almost always begins by quieting the destructive beings and their energies. On the third night, I realized this was not happening. I was locking down for the evening and had just shut off the hall lights in the kitchen, the dining room, and the living room. There was only one small light on inside, and that was in the master bedroom, on the other side of the house. As my eyes began to focus to the darkness, a shape became redefined, blacker than the night, and 2 feet in front of me. It was about 3 feet high, with either horns or ears and red eyes. I could not tell if it had ever lived, but it had enormous rage and an endless sadness. Initial fear was ratified by my disappointment. All the work that I had done up to that point hadn't made a sea change. I stood my ground and calmed myself by imagining that I would be able to help bring it to a positive transformation. It sent me only barbs and then seemed to melt away into the blackness, using the darkness as a fish uses water. It had an intensely ugly energy, and my guessing when or where it might return notched up my apprehension. Why should it shun the light? What does it get from merely peering out from the shadows? How could my fiancé and I begin a life together burdened by this extra negativity? Different things work for different people to assuage supernatural negativity. For some, it is crosses on every wall. For some, it is burning herbs and singing trance-like songs. And for others like me, it is mostly about meditation and psychic intervention. Through my meditation, I learned that this negative being was not diabolical, but is power-hungry. It did not come right out with it, but it made it apparent that that's what it wants. It wants a host to suck on. At that point, I could say all of my good work had not done much, but it helped some. It remained out of my searchlight, yet hungered to be with me, and noticed one day I was lying in bed. It was early evening, and I was just about to turn off the lights to go to sleep. That is when, from across the room and from the corner of my eye, I saw an outline of a face. By trespassing in my space, I was able to pick up a bit more about it, and from there I knew it was masculine and sensed it was a shape changer. It was powerful as well. It would have had to resist my energy so well. It lingered at the threshold, simply watching me. Loving the power of its anonymity and my desire to heal it, it pathetically gloated in its oblivion. Then came New Year's. As usual, I had to work and was hoping my earplugs would sail me through the staple of drunken neighbors, gunfire, and fireworks. My fiancé had tuckered out in the other room. He gets up at 4 a.m, so I wasn't altogether sad he was not sleeping with me that night. As I had feared, the excitement of New Year's got the better of me, and I could hear the snapping fireworks, drunken brawls, and hammering laughter. A little bit after 1 a.m., I was petting the cat, facing away from the door. I was wondering about the cogs and wheels of time and considering what might be my future. I said, "Come in," hearing a knock at the open bedroom door. I was so glad that my fiancé had decided to come and be with me for a while before he had to get up. I waited to hear my fiancé's soft and low voice, but instead heard nothing. From the corner of my eye, I saw the hall light and decided he was making a visit to the bathroom and would be soon coming in. I went back to the cat, then several minutes later, I returned my gaze to the door. I realized the light was strange looking. It was whitish blue, and my boyfriend had never come in. Just as I rolled over to face the door, the light evaporated. It scared me out of my mind. But having just enough of it left, I got up and shut the door, locking it. The next day, I asked my fiancé, but I already knew. He had not been up in the night and had not knocked on my door. Ironically, I withdrew from the light as the light being withdraws from mine. And as time goes by, I am annoyed by its stalwart caginess and saddened by its sadness. Spooked. My encounter happened on a cold winter night. I was working out of town with some friends. Our job was to take 3 days. We did our work, then my boss's sister informed us that we had more work to do. We were all broke, not planning to be out of town that long. While she offered to let us stay at her house, she hadn't lived there long. She also said it was haunted and then added it was cleared by spiritualists. We laughed about it during supper. Her mother showed up. One of the guy's grandmother took ill and was to take him back. She said the house felt good now. Apparently the first time there she had had a bad feeling, had gotten sick, She never made it into the house. Well, they left and we got ready for bed. Jamie and I were on the floor in the living room and Jack in one of her kids' room. I woke up at about 2 a.m. having a nasty nightmare, something about seeing someone crucified on a cross. Not a typical nightmare. I got back to sleep, then it happened. It was like a light, like a flashlight in your face. I was facing the fireplace, which had no light. I checked down the hall, nothing, not even a noise. I laid back down, then my face and neck started to tingle like static electricity. Then it felt like a big set of hands started to choke me. I couldn't yell or pick my head up, so I hit Jamie, who was next to me. He stirred but didn't get up, and it stopped. It was about 5:30 a.m. We were to get up at 6. I was going to sit out in the van because I didn't want to be in that house, but it was like 30 below. So I sat up until 6. When my boss's sister got up, I told her that her house wasn't clear. She looked at me then, and I told her what had happened, and her eyes got huge. Then I knew I wasn't crazy. She said that that's what had happened to her, plus something sexual that she didn't want to elaborate on. After breakfast, me and my friend, we took the van and went home because there was no way I was staying in Silver City. Jamie and her went out to some bars asking questions about the house's history. It was only 20 years old. Someone told them the owner was out at the bars one night, went home, passed out in the garage, and left a truck running. It killed him and his daughter. I almost cried after hearing that. The boss's sister finally moved out after her two sons were sexually assaulted about a month later. A couple of questions. This was the first happening after the house was supposed to have become cleared. But why did it choose me? I never doubted the supernatural, but I couldn't say I was a true believer. But after this experience, how could I not be?